Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Galaxy Podcast. David here with the 2018 Tide Pod Challenge champions, Justin and Randy. How you guys doing, Justin, first?
I feel clean.
Inside and out. What about you, Rando?
Back in my day, you used to have to eat the powdered shit with a spoon.
Yikes.
Yeah. Geek Legacy would like to have a PSA. If you think it's a good idea to eat those Tide Pods, just go ahead and do it because, you know, the world does not need you anymore. So
yeah, you have to snort it, Dave.
Yeah, have at it.
Got to thin the herd.
Yeah, it only says on it like 13 times, you know, don't. This is bad for you. You should not eat it.
The fact that it even says on there, don't eat it, means that some asshole ate it a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not complaining about, you know, it's obviously tragic if like a kid gets underneath your sink and accidents happen. We're talking about the idiots who are making videos and posting it. And
yeah, the teenagers.
The teens, those damn tweens and their YouTubes.
Not the toddlers that see something gooey that want to try it.
They do look appetizing. Hmm.
That little swirl makes it look like a treat.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys love the Tide Pods, but something you like almost as much is award shows where celebrities glad hand and pat each other on the back for being so amazing.
And rapey.
And some are a little bit rapey, especially in the best actress category. But today we got the Oscar nominations, and of course the Oscar being probably the biggest award show of any award show in the history of mankind of all time. This is the 90th show. I love the Oscars. Justin and Randy, not as much. I have seen a good number of these films. Thank you, MoviePass. We'll find out shortly how many, if any, my fellow Geek Legacy people have seen. So did you guys see the nominations, or do you just want me to ramble them on?
I get more joy from the Badminton Hall of Fame Awards ceremony than I do from the Academy Awards.
It's a pretty prestigious class that goes in the Badminton Hall of Fame. Like, they don't just give the golden shuttlecock to anybody.
It's true.
You gotta earn it.
And I'm proud of you for knowing what it's called, by the way. I would have called it a birdie.
Whoa, we're adults here. I mean, birdie's such a kid term.
Is that why they call it a birdie? Because they didn't want to tell kids that it's really called a shuttlecock?
A shuttlecock? I don't know.
Is it like a code word? I never knew that.
It's like, hey, kid, grab my shuttlecock. What?
It's like, hey, you guys want to go beat around the shuttlecock on the mitten court?
Yeah, how about that?
I could have went pro, but, you know, rape.
So how many awards is Wonder Woman getting? How many awards
zero.
Is Logan getting?
Probably zero, sadly. Oh. It's very, very, on some stances, it's kind of sad. I think that Logan probably deserved, if you're going to nominate 9 movies, I think that there was room for you to nominate Logan. They didn't, so I guess we'll have to move forward, but.
What about, like, adapted screenplay? Nothing?
Logan did get, like, what was its one nomination? It was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Okay, yeah, because that's like the old man Logan tale.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, that's it. That's its one. Wonder Woman also did not have any nominations.
Nothing! Wow! Yeah, not
even effects and stuff like that. Zero
Jesus,
nominations.
Jesus, tap dancing. That is terrible, considering it was such a commercial success. So that's surprising.
Yeah. I mean, it's a comic book movie, you know. Those don't get the love, and you know, even though it did have some poignant moments, you know, still relied heavily on some comic tropes. The big winner, or for the nominations at least, was Shape of Water, which received 13 nominations and deserved every single one of them. Have either of you seen Shape of Water yet?
No.
Definitely should, just because it's our buddy Guillermo del Toro, and we have to support him because. Greatest human being ever.
It's about ice cube trays.
Exactly, yeah. They shape water into solids.
And then
the gaseous form. It is a fantastic film, and I'm happy of all the praise that Mr. Del Toro is receiving. It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress. You name it, it was nominated for. The 9 nominees for Best Picture of the Year, keep track in your head of how many you guys have seen, so we'll go there. So Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. So of those 9 films, Mr. Van Dyke, how many have you seen?
I have seen 2.
Oh, so let me see if I can guess. I know Dunkirk's one of them.
Uh-huh.
Did you see Get Out?
I did, yes.
All right, I picked 2. Justin, what about you? How many of the 9 have you seen?
1.
Just the one I saw with you, Dunkirk?
Yeah.
You didn't see Get Out?
No, it was spoiled, and then I didn't want to. I figured I knew what it was all about.
Oh.
It's sort of one of those Norman Bates is his own mother sort of reveal, and so once you see it, or like I See Dead People, like once you know the whole thing, then you don't really need to watch it.
Yeah, I would put it on par with, you know, I See Dead People, but even that was worth watching a second time just to see, like, how did I not see this?
Right.
To where Get Out's kind of like that, too. It's really fun to watch the second time just to see, like, the nuances and some of the performances. You're like, oh, you guys, mm-hmm. you were doing stuff there. For Best Picture, there were couples could be considered, like, pseudo-snubs. A lot of people thought The Florida Project was going to get nominated. I think you could easily take, Dunkirk and The Darkest Hour out of them because those are, while they're both good films, I don't know if they're Best Picture. Darkest Hour, I think Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill will definitely win Best Actor for it. His performance is amazing. And then Dunkirk, I think Nolan deserved a nomination, but the film just kind of was like, eh. But speaking of Best Director, Christopher Nolan gets his first Oscar nomination ever, which is kind of surprising considering his body of work and how much the Academy loved his other movies.
Yeah, but they like the World War movies.
They do. They like the World
War. They do. The Academy is a sucker for period pieces set during World War I or World War II.
Yes. Yes, Christopher Nolan nominated for Best Director. Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird is the only female nominated director on the list. Jordan Peele for Get Out. Paul Thomas Anderson for The Phantom Thread. And Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water. So we have a female, an African-American, and a Latino-American, Hispanic-American. So Oscar So White should not be a hashtag this year, so I guess that is good. A lot of people are surprised that Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread got so many nominations. It was nominated up and down, but I guess word of mouth is really strong. I haven't seen it yet, but I look forward to it. We won't cover all the categories, just maybe a couple of the big ones. Best Actor, I think it's pretty much Gary Oldman. Big surprise was Denzel Washington was nominated for Roman J. Israel Esquire. I think a lot of people thought that maybe Tom Hanks would have got a nomination for The Post, but he didn't, so sucks for him. Best Actress, we got Sally Hawkins for Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie for I, Tanya, what's her name, who always mispronounce her name, for Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep for The Post. I think it's kind of a toss-up, but I think Frances McDormand will probably win because it's a pretty powerful film. For supporting actor, William Dafoe for The Florida Project. I think he, because everyone loves William Dafoe. He's just the man. And my favorite of the year is Best Supporting Actress nomination for Allison Janney for I, Tanya. And if you see the movie, you will know out right away Allison Janney is just the best. So, yeah, I know you guys haven't seen a lot of movies, so it's, you know, we don't really need to go through a lot of the nominations. Best Cinematography is kind of interesting because Rachel Morrison for Mudbound became the first female ever nominated for an Academy Award for Best Cinematography in a film.
That's pretty badass.
Which was kind of surprising. Like, I mean, I understand it's mostly men, but I thought, you know, maybe a woman would have got nominated at some point. Roger Deakins for Blade Runner 2049, he's been nominated 14 times and he's never won.
Donuts.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully this is his year. Blade Runner 2049 is a pretty incredible shot film.
I haven't watched it yet. I own it, but I haven't watched it yet.
So you're saying you have no excuses?
Mm, I don't have 17 hours of my life to spare to watch it.
It is a bit of a long film. Star Wars got 4 nominations.
What?
They got sound, best score, visual effects, and probably sound design as well.
God, I don't even remember the music. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, I'm a big fan of the music I liked from Episode 7, they brought over. I like Rey's theme, and I like Kylo/the First Order theme, and they brought those over, and they had a couple new pieces. It's John Williams' 54th nomination, so.
Wow. Okay.
Guy's got some noms. but yeah, I mean, so, Justin, you saw Dunkirk. That was your one Best Picture nominee. Do you think it's Best Picture caliber, or did you just be bored out of tears?
No, I do not know what makes something a Best Picture. I've been let down so many times watching the Academy Awards that I just don't understand what it takes to be the best motion picture show.
A lot of glad handing, a lot of passing around of money and favors, and it's a whole political thing. At least that's how you get nominated.
Yeah, it's a pretty big thing. It's such a huge membership. That's kind of the joke with the Golden Globes, is that since it's such a small membership that you can, bribe and glad hand, to where the Academy is so large, and really the only real bribes that you can do is to send screeners. And that's why a lot of times you'll see these big pushes for films and stuff like Get Out, isn't a traditional Oscar film in that it came out at the beginning of the year. Typically, awards season films come out at the end of the year, so they're top of mind and people remember them and they go to theater to see them. To where Get Out had to have like a pretty extensive push to become an Oscar nominee. One of the things people are kind of questioning is James Franco didn't get nominated for The Disaster Artist. He won the Golden Globe for being Tommy Wiseau in The Disaster Artist. And so a lot of people are thinking it had to do with his accusations of sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. But the ballots for the Academy Award were due the day after those accusations came out. So more than likely, most people had already submitted their ballots. And so James Franco just didn't get in because people didn't think he was good enough, I guess.
Gotcha. I'm probably going to go see The Shape of Water tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, nice.
I'm actually really excited about it. You know that I have a crazy crush on Octavia Spencer. She's just like my go-to. And I like to see everything that she's in. So I will probably go see that tomorrow just so I can support her.
And she is amazing in it, and she is nominated for Best Supporting Actress for it. It's just unfortunate that she's also in the same year where Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird and Allison Janney from I, Tonya both are just lights out.
Oh, shit. Lady Bird, they turn the lights like out. The first lady?
Kind no.
Of Lady Bird? Oh.
No, different.
Well, that's not exciting. As in Hank Hill's dog?
As in Hank Hill's dog.
Lady Bird.
Data's daughter?
Yep. Data's daughter.
But yeah, the awards, it's a little over a month away. It's on, survey says, March 4th. So it'll be on March 4th. Jimmy Kimmel's going to be the host again. And so it should be an interesting show. Like we talked about in a previous podcast, Oscar So White a couple years ago really spurned the Academy into bringing in a lot of new blood as far as a lot of younger people, a lot of people from diverse backgrounds, be it, ethnicity or inviting more people of women. That's probably not the right way to say it. So a lot more women, a lot more people of color. And so we're going to start seeing a lot more diversity in Oscars. So hopefully that'll be good. I'm sure the show will still be 17 hours long and have 4 dance numbers, but
just as long as there are no phenomenal screw-ups this year like last time.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make a joke out of that in the opening, but I'm sure they're going to try to make sure that when they say Shape of Water, it's really for Shape of Water.
I have a question.
Sure.
Why do you suppose that genre films don't really have a presence at the Academy Awards, but the music to said films always tend to be a smash hit across the board?
I think the inherent problem with genre films is they don't check all the boxes. To where, like, take like horror is a popular genre film. There's a large portion of people who don't like horror films. Like, I don't like horror films. Mm-hmm. And I understand that's my own stupidity, but for a reason I don't. Same thing with, you know, like comic book movies. The Academy does pride itself on bringing the best of the best. And because so many films that are largely CGI-based, like Transformers and stuff, have been terrible films, it's kind of viewed, they're kind of looked down upon as like second-class citizens. And it also comes to, because of the inherent prejudice of genre films, the studios don't push them as hard. So the studios didn't really push Logan that hard. 20th Century Fox didn't push Logan as hard as they probably would have, just because they know that most of the voters are going to say, oh, that was a good film, but it's not an Oscar film and stuff like that. Same thing with like Planet of the Apes, which was an incredible film, but you know, Fox didn't push that because they were like, well, we'll send it out for the visual effects, because the way nominations work is, for the actual award, the entire Academy votes on it. But for the nominations, your individual units vote on it. So for the acting awards, the actors do the nominations. And for cinematography, the cinematographers in the Academy, they do the nominations, and so on and so forth. And that also leads to a lot of people nominating their buddies. So that's why you see like Meryl Streep get her 21st nomination. And while she's great in The Post, you know, there are other years where she was like, really, did you need a nominator? So yeah, so it's a really intricate and fun system. It's really batshit crazy how they nominate best film, because they can do up to 10, and so they have people rank their top 10 films, and then they have, once a film has X amount of votes, they're in, and then they re-vote, and then they keep doing that until they get to a point to where there's a certain percentage for that film, and that's how they do their cutoff. And so this year there's only 9 films nominated instead of the total of 10.
Wow.
It's complicated. It's like a relationship status on Facebook.
Must love dogs.
Must love dogs. I answered my... Speaking of Christopher Plummer, he was not nominated.
Oh, after all that. Answering the call and saving the day.
Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. He did get nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, okay.
Was Ridley Scott did not get nominated for Best Director. And the film didn't get nominated for Best Film.
Gotcha.
Which is strange, just off of a political statement of being able to separate yourself from people like Kevin Spacey. You would think that they would nominate it just so they could like say, look at us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Oscars. Check them out. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of thing. Which I do. But what I know Justin loves himself some Crocodile Dundee.
I'm a sucker for the Dundee and the Dundee Awards for that matter.
Did you ever get your Dundee for the Dundees? So we've had 3 Crocodile Dundee movies. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles was, you know,
arguably the best.
I don't know if there's an argument. I think it definitely was the best. I think time has proven that. But 20 years later, about 4 days ago, a 30-second clip showed up of Danny McBride saying that he's Brian Dundee and g'day losers and that's not a knife. And the internet exploded with, what is this? Is this some Super Bowl ad gone awry? people comparing it to like the trailers that played before Tropic Thunder. And so we all just kind of like, well, it's not April Fool's yet. And then, a website popped up and then, information about like trying to get a rating from the MPAA showed up, and it got a social media accounts, and everyone's like, oh, maybe this is a thing. And then yesterday or today, a new 30-second spot showed up that had Chris Hemsworth. And so, Justin, are we getting another Crocodile Dundee movie?
I hope so. Can never have too much Dundee action.
Really?
I'll take it. Like you, I love Chris Hemsworth and everything he does. It could be Red Dawn. It could be the worst Thor movie ever made, and I would still love it.
There is no such thing as a worst Thor movie. They're all amazing.
I don't know. Second one's not so good.
Thor the Dark World, yeah. It's not so good. It goes dark.
And he's the best part of the Ghostbuster movie.
Yes, yes, he is. Can you answer the phone? I can't. It's in the tank.
So I'll take it. And the two of them together sounds amazing. So... That's a powerhouse.
Nice. Randy, does this spark your the nostalgia member berries? And are you all fun aside of this trailer? Would you be interested in seeing a fourth Crocodile Dundee movie?
I'm hard pressed to remember even seeing 2 and 3. I didn't even know there were, or at least it wasn't in my consciousness that there was a 2 and 3 until I started seeing articles pop up about this silly trailer. But that having been said, I remember loving the first one when I was a kid. So I guess anything that kind of keeps it in the public consciousness or relevant as far as pop culture, I say, yeah, fuck, I would see it. I'm not going to pay to go see it in a movie theater. If I had MoviePass, I might go see it. But I'll watch it when it streams.
And a fun fact for Crocodile Dundee 1, aside from the yuppie culture that was prevalent in the 80s, kind of being overbearing in the movie, like, it totally holds up. Like, it's still pretty great.
I love it when he takes the guy's cocaine, puts it in a pot of boiling water, and puts his head in front of it saying, no, it works better if you do it like this.
And so you just do, like, $400 for the cocaine. You can live off it. Tastes like shit.
God damn
it. But yeah, it totally holds up. It's definitely, if you catch it streaming somewhere, if it's on TV somewhere, it's definitely worth checking out. Paul Hogan is truly outstanding in the first one, at least. Second one's got a couple fun parts, but it's mostly just callbacks to the first one. The third one is when he goes to LA and he kills a mechanical boa constrictor with a knife, and it's kind of a cluster. But
part two has Leroy Brown, played by Charles S. Dutton, our favorite.
Yes, it does. Rock, you know.
I know. R-O-C.
Yeah, R-O-C. Couldn't afford that K. We'll see.
Bring it. I'll take it.
We got something every couple days now, so in a couple days, maybe by this weekend, we'll have something else new. And if it becomes a thing, I'm interested. There's rumors that Paul Hogan may return, but of course that is all dependent on it being a real thing and not some elaborate ruse for something, which is also possible still.
Yeah, supposedly the premise is like he's lost somewhere in the outback, and only his dim-witted American son, played by Danny McBride, will be able to retrieve him, if the rumors I've heard are to be believed.
That premise flies with me. I'd check that out. I remember
he's getting pretty old though, man. He's 79.
Oh shit!
But he's like an Australian 79. That's just like 50 our age.
That's a lot. Yeah,
kind of like reverse dog years.
That's a lot of sun though.
That accent will get you a lot though.
That's some Goldie Hawn sun out there in Australia.
I remember the first Crocodile Dundee was like the first time I saw like a woman in like a thong type bathing suit on screen.
Oh my.
Yeah, the scene where she's like filling the cantina before the crocodile grabs her cantina and starts to drag her in the ocean. Yeah, she's wearing a very provocative bathing suit, and young David Edmondson was pretty excited pre-internet to see that.
That is amazing. Crocodile Dundee 2 was the first Letterboxd movie I remember seeing on VHS. I'm like, what the hell are these black bars?
I got a lot of money for this TV.
And then I remember seeing a pamphlet where it showed Jaws in Letterboxd, and it was when it was attacking the ship. And when it was in the modified version, you just barely saw its face. And then
the Pan Am scan.
Yeah, and then when it shows like the Letterboxd version, you see the whole boat and Jaws. It's kind of neat. Put it into perspective. And I was now I got to get fucking every movie Letterboxd.
Yeah, I remember when I went to Blockbuster, it was the height of the Letterboxd versus Pan and Scan time, and I remember we'd always have people come and bitch, like, there are lines on this movie. Like, oh, you got the Letterboxd version. I don't want it. It's like, half my TV is missing. Yeah. I'm like, sorry.
That's so funny to me.
You're like, but you're actually seeing more. No. Wow, I have lines on my TV. I'm seeing less.
Idiot, that's why you work at a video store.
You don't know that this is less? Speaking of less, did you see that after only 2 weeks, China pulled Last Jedi out of the theaters for underperforming?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it made right around $28 million in the Chinese box office, which was no bueno. And they're like, hey, we're not wasting any theater screens on this. It's important to know that this isn't because they hate The Last Jedi. It's just that the original trilogy was not shown in China. It was a film that was banned because, you know, America. It wasn't until they got the prequels that they actually got them in the theater. So their first Star Wars exposure in China was the prequels, and maybe it soured them to them. But
they like the robots, the Transformers. Yes. Very, very big in China.
I heard that the actors aren't pretty enough.
Oh.
I heard specifically that the reason why Star Wars doesn't appeal to the Chinese crowd is that the actors, the characters, are not as attractive as those in the MCU, for example.
Interesting.
That was the direct comparison I heard.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. You know, it's just a complicated story to translate. You know, films that do really good over there, like the Transformers movies, you know, not really dialogue. You could have just the M&E track with no dialogue, and Transformers is pretty universally understandable, to where when you're trying to explain, like, Jedi and characters with weird names and, you know, droids with designations and stuff like that, a lot of people are saying that it's just kind of a hard thing to translate, which leads to a problem. This isn't the Last Jedi problem. You know, Force Awakens did okay there, not nearly what they expected. Rogue One, same thing. So this is a Star Wars problem over in China, and so Disney's going to have to do something to correct that if they want to take care of the global box office. Because with China being so dwindling, The Last Jedi is pretty much cemented that it will be the largest drop off from one film to the other as far as box office goes, and that's because Force Awakens did so well. But you know, a lot of other trolls will make you believe that's proof that Last Jedi sucks, which people are idiots. We discussed that a lot. So, Justin, you surprised The Last Jedi just 2 weeks in China, and they're like, nope, no more. None for me.
Yeah, I'd say I'm surprised. Amused.
I mean, Pirates 5 probably made like $200 million there.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just... I remember when Force Awakens came out, that the feedback was that they didn't understand what was happening. Yeah. You said to yourself it was a hard story to translate, and that must be true. And they're like,
that was a laser soul.
Yeah, exactly. And then Luke's kind of an asshole in this movie, so they probably just didn't like it. And nothing really happens. I don't know. It's not a lot. It's a lot of talking and not talking. It's just
You know what amazes me about all our discussions on The Last Jedi, and we talked a lot about Last Jedi after it came out, is that none of us ever really talked about the insane plot of the Resistance cruiser just staying out of range of the weapons. Like,
that's so dumb.
Like other ships just couldn't jump to light speed in front of it and then like just start coming towards it.
Right.
Like am I the only one who, am I just not thinking fourth dimensionally here?
But, no, I think you're the only one who is thinking fourth dimensionally.
Right. Or they're a bitch in that, you know, he called Kylo Ren and his two droid fighters back. Those two just destroyed half that ship.
Yeah.
Why are you calling them back? Just let them finish it off. You know, obviously they got the super TIE fighters or something like that. Or just send more fighters or something like that. It's something that always bugged me, but for whatever reason, anytime I talk about it, it's like something I forget, that it's stupid. Almost as stupid as, you know, killing Admiral Akbar like they did instead of letting him fucking ram the ship into them. But then, yeah, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, and then when the ship was going through the turnaround process, couldn't they have caught up a little bit faster? Well, it's like doing like an Austin Powers turn. I don't know. Whatever. Willing suspension of disbelief, my friend. And there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Star Wars is fake.
They could have just jumped in three different directions. They can only follow one of them.
Yeah. See?
Damn you, Rian Johnson. What are you doing? Speaking of Star Wars, Randy, you're a big Rebels fan. Did you see the new Rebels trailer for the last half of the last season?
I did. It's exciting. They got Ian McDiarmid back to voice Emperor Palpatine, and we see Kanan cut off all his hair and looks all completely weird now. But yeah, it's promising to be some kind of epic wrap-up. Because this is the series finale we're heading towards right now. So
wow.
I know, it's huge. All I can hope is that they don't kill off Thrawn. Please leave him alive for the movies. Because if he's not represented in a movie somewhere, I'll still be thankful that at least we got him in the new canon in the form of an animated in Rebels. But goddamn, I want to see him in a live-action movie somewhere.
Now, do you think, I have two questions since you're the Rebels expert here. Do you think we'll get a final fate of Ahsoka? Do you think she'll pop back up here? She wasn't in any of the marketing material, but Dave Filoni got a lot of attention in Star Wars Celebration when he wore the shirt that said Ahsoka with a question mark, and then they showed the trailer and they came back and it was Ahsoka with an exclamation point. So do you think we're going to get Ahsoka in this, or do you think Filoni's saving her for something else?
I don't have a good answer for that, because I think they're going to have their hands full tying up the story with the main characters that, you know, we follow on a weekly basis. And then to bring in a legacy character like that from Clone Wars. And granted, I know she's had a good history with the Rebels crew as it is. I don't know. It feels like there's so much to wrap up with the Jedi storyline with Kanan and with Ezra that we don't have room for anymore. So that being said, as much as fans probably want to see her fate and see what happens to her after that duel with Darth Vader, I would be completely content not knowing, and then maybe later on down the road revealing it somewhere else.
Yeah. That season 2 finale was pretty awesome. I mean, you had Maul, Vader, and Ahsoka all in like one episode. And Maul and Vader didn't actually fight, you know, Maul fought, you know, Kanan, but, you know, then immediately after we got the Vader, Ahsoka, Kanan, Ezra fight, which was, you know, pretty good stuff. Now, how many of the people of the crew do you think make it through this? And I guess maybe you can help pinpoint where in the timeline Rebels is currently now versus Rogue One / A New Hope. Are we years or months?
We are weeks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I think we're super close to Rogue One. Because supposedly, and this could be old intel, could be long since proven wrong, but I heard more or less that this series was going to end moments before Rogue One takes place. Now, based on who we see and who we hear referred to in Rogue One, we know Chopper makes it because he is in Rogue One. He's rolling around the Rebel base.
Yep.
And we know that Hera survives because we hear her name getting called over the PA system inside the Rebel base. Anybody else is fair game. Zeb could be gone. Kanan and Ezra could be gone. Sabine could be gone.
I mean, there's no way that Kanan's making it out of the series, right?
I would think so. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys ever watch, like, old samurai movies or anything like that? Doesn't it mean something? No,
all the time. I have them on endless loop.
you like gladiator movies? No, the reason I ask specifically is because we actually see him in this trailer cutting off his hair, cutting off that iconic ponytail that he's had since, like, day one. And isn't that, like, some sort of significant move when you're cutting off, like, a braid of hair or cutting off a big swath of hair?
I think that's when Jewish people tear their clothing, is what you're thinking of.
No, you're right, Randy. Like, usually, like, you know, they'll cut off, like, their top knot, you know, like, if they've lost their honor or if they've done something to bring shame upon, like, their house or their family or their clan.
That's the Dothraki.
You're thinking circumcision, Justin.
But anyway, it comes around to the fact that I don't think he's going to make it out, and I would like to see, I would have liked to have seen Ezra be somebody else. I would have really liked to have seen him be fucking DJ in episode 8, because they had similar facial scars. We talked about that in a previous episode. I would have thought that'd be cool. I'd like to see him come around later on down the road. I'd like to see him survive, and since he is kind of the main character that we've followed since childhood, and it is an animated kids show, I would like to think that he's probably going to survive in some way, shape, or form. But I don't know, man. I don't know any spoilers, so anything we're talking about here is purely just speculation. I don't know. Nobody is safe except for those two names that I mentioned that appeared in Rogue One. That's it.
Now, two things. I'm going to touch on DJ real quick. You know, DJ's starting to grow on me. The more I see The Last Jedi, I'm like, you know, he's got some really interesting things to say. And I think most people, myself included, dismiss him because he's part of that Canto Bight storyline that just is unsatisfactory. But a lot of the stuff he's saying is very poignant and very, very much what, like, a scoundrel would say and do. And, you know, his line of, you blow them up today, they blow you up today, you blow them up tomorrow, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, don't choose sides and stuff like that. Aside from being the catalyst to really motivate Finn to pick a side, I kind of hope we see DJ again in some kind of capacity.
I hope so, too. I'd like to see him back in Episode 9.
Yeah. But more directly related to Rebels, Randy, if it ends moments before Rogue One, would that be satisfying for you? Because their fate in Rogue One is left ambiguous because, you know, basically it's a glorified Easter egg. I don't think that the people who made Rogue One had any communication with Dave Filoni and the people at Rebels. I think they just thought, hey, this would be a cool Easter egg. If we don't see them post Rogue One, do you think that's just their way of leaving the door open so they can show up in, like, you know, something in the future? Or do you think that they kind of, oh, fans, they should be able to see where these people end up?
Okay, first of all, I think you're wrong. I think Dave Filoni was involved in putting Rebels into Rogue One. I think the actual CG model that they used in Rogue One was based upon the more basic CG model they use in the animated show. Because that's not traditional 2D animation. That's all stuff that they already had the models pre-built for. They just probably made it much more detailed for cinematic purposes. So I think there was a certain swapping of assets there. Plus, I seem to remember he was on set when they were doing stuff with Chopper. I could be wrong. But I think he was more involved in Rogue One than we or the public at large may actually know. And whether or not we're going to... Honestly, it could be a good deal of time before Rogue One when Rebels ends. Because I don't want to feel like they're whisked off into the battle that we see in the movie right as the series ends, because I imagine there's going to be some big, gigantic emotional climax. So that would just feel like a nonstop barrage of all this shit going on. There has to be some sort of, like, break. There has to be, like, a refractory period in between. So, I don't know. I don't really feel like I'm going to be disappointed either way. I think Rebels has been a really fulfilling show, and it's grown a lot from its first season. I thought it was cool, but I thought it was really cheap the way they made it, because they only had like four character models for the background people. They were all old white dudes with gray hair, and they are all freaking hammerhead Ithorians. Those were like the only characters they had in the background. But it's grown. They've put a lot more money, time, effort, and love into the show, and I think really think that shows. So I'm satisfied with it, no matter how it ends.
Do you watch Forces of Destiny at all?
I watched the first like 6 or 8 episodes they put out, but I haven't since probably before the holidays. I haven't looked at any of the new stuff.
The most recent one takes place. It focuses on Hera and Chopper, and takes place after the Battle of Hoth.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, it's fucking interesting, man.
Yeah, that is interesting, because that also totally just reconfirms the fact that those two make it. It's good that they make it that far.
Yeah, and plus we know, and they're the only two we know that make it to Rogue One, or that we have proof make it to Rogue One. So yeah, maybe it ends right before Rogue One, and Hera and Chopper are the only ones left. That's pretty grim for a kid show.
That is pretty grim. I'd be okay with that. Maybe the other ones are in the Phantom. Is that the name of the smaller ship? The Phantom?
Yes.
Because the Ghost is the big one? Yeah. Maybe all the other ones are in the Phantom, and they sacrifice themselves or blow up, or they all go their own separate ways. Because, you know, Sabine's got to go do her Mandalorian thing.
And have Rey. She's Rey's mom. She's Obi-Wan's daughter.
All right.
Still sticking to that theory.
I like it. I'm on board.
Still wanted to be true. I think JJ. I'm hoping that JJ Abrams will fix something for me, which I don't know if that's very likely. I'm just saying, if you set up a major plot point is who this person's parents are and their parents are nothing, that's not satisfactory, Mr. Johnson. That's why you're getting the hate on the internet. Don't deflect. But yeah. So Justin Steven Spielberg, he's a pretty good guy. He's got Ready Player One coming out in March, which is going to be an amazing film. They just released a fun featurette that highlighted a lot of the films spotlighted in not only Ready Player One, but what makes Steven Spielberg Steven Spielberg. But he was recently talking that his next project is either going to be his remake of West Side Story or Indiana Jones 5. I won't ask which one you'd prefer it to be, because I'm pretty sure we all want it to be West Side Story, because...
In America.
we all love that nonsense, but does it excite you that Indy 5 is... we got that release date, then we got the release date changed. Are you excited that we might actually start working on this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I could always use a little bit more Indiana Jones in my life.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we definitely all could. I recently showed
with or without aliens.
Interdimensional.
Preferably without.
I'm just if I get a vote, I say without. Yeah, I recently showed my kids all four Indiana Jones movies, and they really liked it, and they all got a kick out of that Indy 5.
Do they want to be archaeologists now?
No, my younger son has turned everything into a whip, though. Oh. So like we had like these cardboard tubes, like you had like wrapping paper on, and he unwound it so that the bottom was like the circle and the rest was like a whip and stuff like that, or if he gets like a piece of rope or something like that. But it was fun. Even they could tell that Indiana Jones 4 was not as good as the other ones.
Have they seen The Mummy, the Brendan Fraser one?
They have not.
That's very Indiana Jones-ish.
It is, yeah.
I freaking love that movie so much.
Yeah. And so it's funny. So anytime there's anything has to do with a ticket, my younger son will always say, "No ticket."
That's so. I'm excited. I just am. It's already 2018, so unless they fast track the shit out of that movie, it's still a couple years away. So better get a move on it.
Yeah, last we had heard, it was summer 2019. It's like June 19th, 19.
Yeah. So 19. Force Awakens was what, 2015?
26. Yeah, 2015, December.
Yeah. So, and he was already ready to break out the hat and whip in 2015. So, time she's a flying.
Yeah, I think whatever B got in his bonnet to make the post, I think really pushed everything back, because, you know, he wrapped Ready Player One, and then he wrote, or had written, did pre-production, shot, finished, and released the post, and Ready Player One's still not out, just because it's so effects intensive. Mm-hmm. So I think because he did that, I think we lost a year of Indiana Jones momentum. So it's good to see that he's acknowledging that and that he is, you know, ready to correct that mistake.
And there's no post on Sundays.
No post on Sundays. Randy, obviously you hate this news because you don't like Indiana Jones, right?
You know... No, I love Indiana Jones, and I'm all about anything that's going to get me one more movie out of Harrison Ford and Spielberg. Just as long as it's not following in the footsteps of 4. Please, no more 4.
Well, it's under the House of Mouse now, so maybe Disney will do something.
Maybe they'll give it the Force Awakens treatment.
What are you going to say, Justin?
I can't remember what the name of that horrible movie was. Firewall. Firewall 2.
With Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Did you see Firewall?
I did, yeah.
I was going to say it wasn't terrible.
No, but he was like, it was just weird. He was too old for that role.
No, I agree. Yeah, he's too old to be the dad of a teenager.
Well, yeah. I mean,
scientifically, he's not.
I was going to say, I could see him banging around in his late 50s, early 60s.
But either way, it just seemed weird where he's like using an iPod to hack into a bank network or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he took the roller from the fax machine and hooked it up to the iPod so he could like scan all the documents and stuff.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, I'm with you. And they chipped their dog.
What?
They put like a microchip in the dog, and that's how they like were able to find where they needed to go because the dog was chipped.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it's okay. No one did. All right, sorry. Moving on.
D-Ray.
Yeah. Randy, you were telling us about a RoboCop thing? They're going to remake RoboCop and shit-can Frank Miller's greatest work?
What?
No. They're... Okay, so... There is talk that there is going to be a RoboCop sequel that is meant to be taking place right after the first one, RoboCop 1, and it's going to shit-can and retcon RoboCop 2 and 3, which were pretty underperforming in the box office, and it's also going to completely ignore the recent reboot from a few years back. It's going to be
terrible, by the way.
Yeah. Ed Neumeier, the gentleman who we had the opportunity to meet at Comic-Con this past year, who was super awesome, wrote the first RoboCop movie. Also one of the producers, right? If I am not mistaken. He is directly involved with this, and that's why I have hope that it could be pretty freaking cool. There's no word as to whether Peter Weller will be returning and lending his face to the RoboCop costume for this one. And who knows if it even has Murphy in it, or if it is like maybe a next generation of RoboCop after the old one has fallen apart, biodegraded, aged.
This one's got Bluetooth in it.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know anything about it other than hopefully it's going to be a return to its hard R-rated roots with no regard for human life and all about 80s cursing, blood, total disregard for humanity, you know, that was 80s mentality kind of thing for action movies. That's what I would like to see a return to.
Maybe get Verhoeven back to direct it.
Yes, yeah.
For whatever reason. That guy can do violence.
Mm.
Like, you know, like we always talk, like Matthew Vaughn can do action, like just violence for violence sake is like the calling card of Paul Verhoeven.
They're pretty and good, man. I fucking love his movies. Aside from Showgirls. I there's definitely an era of his movies that I really like. RoboCop, Total Recall, and fucking Starship Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
Any day of the week.
And twice on Sundays.
On Sunday. I got time because there's no post on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah, he's not been doing a lot lately because I mean it hurt him that you know he did Hollow Man, you know, so that didn't help. But
yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Hollow Man.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right. I always forget he also did Basic Instinct. He had a bit of a little romp with nudity for a while, I guess. Basic Instinct and then Showgirls. He did not direct the edited television version. It's a fun little fact there.
I did not.
I
didn't even know that Frank Miller wrote RoboCop 2. That was a surprise to me when you said that.
Yeah, and 3.
And 3. The characters are obviously are based on the characters by Ed Neumeier, but yeah, I had no idea.
I'm sure it is a fact that he would like most of us to forget.
You know, I actually saw RoboCop 2 at the drive-in, and I saw it in Merced when I was visiting my relatives, and that theater fell apart, sadly. Same theater I saw Karate Kid 2 in. That's rad. Anyway.
Yeah, RoboCop 2 and 3 are his first two credits for writing a film, and he was supposed to direct RoboCop 3, but things fell through at the end, I guess.
Oh, that was a bullet.
I think he did. Considering Mr. Fred Decker ended up doing it, and you know he hasn't done much since.
Yeah,
he did produce 21 episodes of Star Trek Enterprise, which is arguably the best one.
Well, there you go. Maybe TV is more his thing.
Yeah, he did direct Monster Squad, though, I guess.
Monster Wolfman. Squad.
Yeah, Wolfman's got nards.
Yeah, and Dracula's got like a fucking car.
Yeah, like a Cadillac or whatever.
So bad.
Well, that is interesting. If it's got mindless fear and violence, I'll be into it. Much like the other trailer, did you guys see the Super Troopers 2 trailer?
Yeah, they're like Mounties now.
Go to Canada? Canada? Looks fun, I guess. You know, we'll see if it can avoid the curse of recent comedies that took a long time off and came back, like Zoolander 2, which unfortunately is just the worst.
Yeah.
But hopefully they can kick it, you know. Bro, I like the Broken Lizard guys. They're funny guys. They've at least been at it for a while, even after Super Troopers, so it's time. Time is meow.
I'll take it. I'll give it a go. I'll support those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Randy, I heard you had a game for us.
I do, in light of talking about one of our favorite action movies of the 80s being RoboCop, I found a fun thing. I'm turning into a game. It is 30 action hero one-liners. Oh. It could be from any era.
Ooh.
30? And,
30 of them. Okay. I might just jump around the list here until we get bored or until I pass out. Because it is almost 1 a.m. as we record this. So I'm just going to give you the line, and you guys have to say your name real quick, and then I will call on you to tell me what movie it is from.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So, for example, if I were to say, Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
So I'd David, say Justin, and then I would say Die Hard.
But yes. I said David first. But
yeah, I heard David.
No, I know. I get it.
Yes, but that is exactly how it would work. Okay. All right? Are you guys ready?
Ready.
All right. There's not going to be 30 of them, so we're just going to cherry pick this list here. And here we go. You've got to ask yourself one question.
David.
God damn David. It.
That's Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Next. Consider that a divorce.
Justin.
Justin.
Total Recall.
Correct. All right. That's 1 point for each of you. Next, get off my plane.
David.
Oh, David. Fuck.
Air Force One.
Of course.
I've said that like 100 times on this show, dude.
Well, here's another one you guys have said hundreds of times. Welcome to Earth.
Justin.
David, I heard you first.
Independence Day.
Of course.
I think it's Earth.
Yeah. I said Earth with an S.
Oh, okay.
All right. Next. Dead or Alive, you're coming
Justin.
With me.
David.
Justin.
RoboCop.
Of course, yes. Apropos. All right. This one is one you may not get. You're a disease, and I'm the cure.
David.
David.
Cobra.
Cobra. Yeah. Well done, sir.
He's got the sweet gun and the sunglasses and the toothpick.
It's got like the best opening, and then the rest of the movie is kind of disappointing.
Terrible. The meat hook thing is kind of cool, but...
Yeah. I like the opening when he's like, I'll blow this store up. He's like, it's okay. I don't shop here.
All right.
So bad.
This is another great one. I'm too old for this shit.
David.
I heard Justin first.
Lethal Weapon.
Yes, sir. All right, it's close. David's got 4. Justin's got 3. All right. Ooh, we're gonna skip the snakes on a plane one because that one's a little too obvious.
Nice.
Hey, terrorist, terrorize this.
David.
I heard David first.
What?
Team America.
Yes, sir.
Check the tape on that one.
I heard me first.
All right, here you go, Justin. This one's for you.
Oh, great.
I am the law.
David.
David.
Judge Dredd.
Yes, sir. I know it's not your version of Dredd that you like, Justin, but it still makes me think
I would have taken it. I saw it at the same theater that I also saw RoboCop 2 at.
All right. Skipping by some easy ones here. All right. This one's fun. Always bet on black.
Justin.
David.
Justin.
Passenger 57.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, here we go. You know how I said I'll kill you last?
Justin. David.
I lied. Justin.
Commando.
No way.
Commando. I totally smoked you on that one.
No way.
Commando. All right.
Smoked you.
Tightening up that gap. I got 6 with David, 5 for Justin.
Now I'm just saying my name because I'm guessing that I'm going to get it right.
That's, there's not a...
There's no penalties, so you might as well.
Yeah. Well, that one, Randy kept reading the quote, so I guess once we see our name, you got to stop the quote.
Sure. I ain't got time to bleed.
Justin.
David.
Fuck! David. I totally got
it. On my end, he didn't.
Oh, man, what a dick.
All right. Here's another one. Fill your hands, you son of a bitch.
David.
What? David.
True Grit.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
John Wayne's only Academy Award. That's speaking of Oscars.
I wouldn't call that an action movie.
The non-Cohen version is, I'd call it an action movie. It's definitely a Western.
Yeah, Western's code for boring.
All right, this one's kind of fun, but maybe a little obscure. I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To
Justin.
The blood bank, Justin.
That is fucking Steven Seagal movie, right?
It is.
Hard to Kill.
Yes, it is. All right, good, good, good.
That's a good one.
That is a really good one, and slightly obscure. All right, here's another good one. Get away from her, you
David.
Bitch. Oh, David.
Fuck. That's Aliens.
Yes,
yep.
It is.
All right. Oh, this one's fun. Barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs?
Oh, I don't know that one.
David?
David.
Carl Weathers.
It is Carl Weathers.
Oh,
yep.
I know it.
Action Jackson.
Yep.
Action Jackson. You got it. Ooh. All right. This one's way too easy. Oh, here's a good one. All right. You call that a knife?
Justin!
This is a knife. David.
Crocodile Dundee.
Of course.
There's lag.
On your end.
I know all of these. This is disgusting.
I feel the need.
David.
Speed.
I watched this yesterday. Top Gun.
Yes, sir. All right.
You could have watched it in 1986 and you still would have gotten.
All right. This one's a terrible movie. You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres.
And David, this is not a terrible movie. Last Action Hero rules.
It's a god-awful movie.
So bad.
I loved Last Action Hero.
So bad.
Jack Slater. You can't die.
All right. Sorry. Here's a good one, a little bit more recent. I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Oh, David.
David.
Gladiator. 2000 Academy Award winner. Bring it back to Oscars.
It's Russell Crowe.
Tugger.
This is the last one. This is the Golden Snitch. Whoever gets one scores 10 points.
No, I'm boycotting any Golden Snitch. What's the score right now?
The score is, let me count these little X's that I have here. 1, 2, 3.
But if it would have been like the back and forth like we normally do, then it would be tied.
Yeah.
What back and forth?
Like
I ask you one, I ask Justin one, and then we go back and forth. And then the only way you'd really make any headway is if one person gets one wrong, you get a chance to steal.
Yeah.
I'm hitting
the buzzer, so I'm faster.
Your brother's not working.
It's 14-6 right now.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit.
Seems awful unfair that he can win on this one. Same. I will go by the judge's rules.
Any given Sunday, David.
That's not how that works.
Yeah.
It's not. If the Patriots are winning 42-8, and the other team scores a touchdown, they don't win.
Doesn't matter if you win or lose; it's how you play the game.
Doesn't matter if you win by an inch
or a mile. Winning is winning.
All right. So, really, what you're saying is all the previous questions were just practice. It's just a one question toss-up.
This is a one question game. Everything else is completely irrelevant. Uh-huh. All right. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
All right. You want a war? I'll give you a war you wouldn't believe.
David.
I heard David first.
First Blood.
You got it. You even got it by its proper name.
I know. I was hoping you'd call it Rambo.
I was hoping so, too. Well, I was hoping somebody would so I could default to the other one. But yeah. All right. David is our winner.
Yay. That was a fun game.
Yeah. I'm going to try to bring back the games. So I'm gonna do what I can to put together one every week.
Sweet.
And with Justin's criticism of this week's game, I will try to do a round robin a little bit.
It's fine. It's fine.
No, I agree with you. If we did that, if there were 30 of them, it would have been 15-15.
I know, because you guys are way too good at this. But yeah,
congratulations, David.
Thanks. I humble in defeat, humble in victory.
Congratulations for living closer to Randy, so your Skype signal gets to his headphones before mine.
Mine has to go to space as well. I have garage internet. What are you talking about?
Maybe next week we'll do 80s movies.
Ooh. You know what?
Study up on your 80s movies.
I think that's the way it works. You win, you make the game. So I will make the game next week.
There you go. All right. I like
Winner makes the game for the next week.
I will purposely lose so I never have to do the game.
I always feel bad because Justin always made the games, and then it was me versus Randy.
That's how the Golden Snitch came to be. Because
yeah. The only way I can.
Let's pistol whipping a blanket over here.
Yeah. What a fun podcast.
Yes, I will make a game next week. You guys got anything else to add before we sign off for the night?
No. Oh, yeah. There's a new episode of Everything Geek that is being recorded tomorrow, and it's usually up the same day, so be on the lookout for that. It is with Mr. Tony Tolato of Sci-Fi Talk and Mr. Rod Faulkner of The Seventh Matrix, and it's a fun show. David, you were on last month's episode, and you're going to be on this one as well. So
I guess I am. Yay! I don't know what we're talking about, but I'll be ready.
Probably the stupid Academy Awards.
I'll be ready to interject my unwelcome comments and criticisms.
And Star Trek Discovery.
I feel like I upset Rod a lot in the show.
Oh, man. Rod's like what you call grumpy goose.
I feel bad. I'm like, oh. I don't mean to shit on what you said, Rod, but I think Thor's good.
Yeah, he was not a fan. I hope he likes Black Panther, though, because I'm really excited about that movie.
Oh,
And I always get a little sad when he hates something I like.
Hey, Randy, speaking of Star Trek Discovery, are you caught up on Star Trek Discovery?
I am not. I am several episodes behind currently.
As am I, but I was reading something. It was like some fallout from major spoiler, and I read what the spoiler was, and I'm like, oh, that is kind of a big spoiler.
Carl got bit.
Yeah, Carl got bit. Got bit real good.
Spoiler alert.
One of them zombie spiders.
Yeah.
Zombie Klingons.
He's going to be a spider man.
Yes, he is. Well, cool. You got anything, Randy, before we sign off?
Tain't nothing.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geekmasia Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to tell your friends. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us, tell, hey, what a great guy you are, and we'll read your review on the air. Maybe leave us a fun question. And then make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for geek news and reviews. And on there we have our other podcast, the Pixelated Podcast, with Justin and Stephen K. James talking about video games. They are a funny dynamic duo who both love and hate each other at the same time. It's amazing. And you can feel both emotions simultaneously. Make sure to follow us on Twitter @GeekLegacy. And until next time, we will talk to you one at a time.